Welcome back into Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, alongside Alex Apple from Fox 17, scheduled to be joined by Corey Curtis here in just a second, getting into all of the Brady news over the weekend. And Alex, this is like a never-ending saga. He was at, I think, a Syracuse game over the weekend with Julian Edelman. They were sitting courtside. And some dude in the crowd, like, super zoomed in to watch Tom Brady apparently FaceTiming with Mike Vrabel, and it has caused a ruckus on the social media. It's been awesome to watch.
It's incredible video work from the guy
that really
did that.
It really is. He deserves a job of some sort. And to help us talk more about this, we bring in our good friend from News 2, Corey Curtis. Corey, how's it going, my man?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
Doing great. So, Corey, every Monday night, my wife forces me to watch The Bachelor, and there's so much drama surrounding one human being, and I feel like Tom Brady is like the real-life sports version of The Bachelor, just drama all the time. What did you make of the latest over the weekend of the FaceTime video, the Zapruder film-like footage taken from the crowd? You know, Tom Brady was caught on camera. Julian Edelman was messing with him, saying he's coming back. He ended up saying he's not at the end of it. Just a lot of things going on Tom Brady at a Syracuse game over the weekend. What did you make of the latest drama?
Well, look, I mean, we know they're friends, and we know they're good friends. So I don't make a whole lot of that, other than the fact that this is why I thought he's likely coming to Tennessee anyway. But even if he wasn't a free agent, it wouldn't be surprising if he was FaceTiming or talking with Mike Vrabel. So I don't make that much of it. I mean, are they negotiating a deal while he's at a basketball game? No.
Probably not.
Mike Vrabel doesn't negotiate the deals anyway. Vin Marino negotiates the deals. So I don't make that much of it, other than it confirms again just how good of friends that they are.
Corey, we were having a conversation earlier about officiating in pro sports, and obviously the latest example, Saturday night, the Predators have a call go against them, a goaltender interference call. When you go back and look at it, you can make a pretty strong case that it was not goaltender interference. And it got us in the conversation of, should officiating and officials in sports be held more accountable than they are? Number one, what would your response to that question be? And number two, how would you go about doing that?
Well, I mean, we're already in a situation in the NFL where referees and some of these guys are retiring because they don't want to hear any more of it. I mean, they get lit up all the time. And it's a thankless job because they're human beings and they're going to make mistakes. They just are because they're human beings. Players make mistakes all the time. Coaches make mistakes all the time. And I know, you know, there's the difference there that those guys have to be accountable to a level. They all have to do interviews afterwards. They all have to explain afterwards. They can all be fired or cut from their jobs afterwards. So there's a level of accountability.
There's got to be a way for leagues to insulate the officials from that and still be accountable, though, right?
Well, I mean, you would think, you know, you hear about review processes afterwards, and like in the NFL, you know, there are certain officials that we never see in the playoffs, and we never see them in the playoffs for reason, because the playoffs are a reward for these guys. The guys who grade out as the best officials get the very biggest games at the end of the year. So I know it's frustrating, and I don't have the magic answer for it, other than to say that I tend believe me, I get frustrated with officiating just like everybody, but I also understand it's a thankless job. It really is. It's kind of like being an offensive lineman. Nobody wants to know that you're there, and they only really know that you're there if you do something that upsets them.
Let me ask you about a Titans question, an interesting option for them as they chart a course through their offseason. Some ESPN reporting this weekend that Malcolm Butler could be a cut candidate for the Titans. Of course, he's due $13 million next year. Cutting them would allow them to get out of about half of that contract, freeing up $6 to $7 million. Is not insignificant. But if you're not going to bring back Logan Ryan, or if you're unsure if you're going to bring back Logan Ryan, and you were to also move on from Malcolm Butler, you would think that that would be a scenario that would not be appetizing for anyone in that building. So in what realm would that be possible, or how would the Titans pull it off, especially coming off a season in which they keenly learned how valuable that cornerback depth is?
Yeah, I mean, I can't see a situation where you let them both go. I just can't. And, you know, like you just said, they only save about $6 million if they let him go, because I think his number's like 13 and it's like 6 or 7 if they let him go. So you're not saving that much. But I guess if you'd rather keep Logan over Malcolm and say Malcolm, then Logan's number is 10 again, then really you're paying him 16 this year. Because you got to tack on 6 to whoever you're going to replace him with, you got to tack 6 onto his number. And, you know, that number is going to be really high for this year. I guess if you were really desperate to free up the cap space, you know, he could be a guy, but I would find that to be unlikely move in my scenario. But like I said, if you were desperate to clear up 6 or 7 million, that would be one place you could go, because there's only limited places you can go. We all know the main guys that are likely not going to be back: Cam Wink, Delaney Walker, Deion Lewis, and possibly Ryan Succop. But if you want to free up big chunks after that, the only two real guys to go after are Jarrell Casey and Malcolm Butler, and they're fairly significant guys on your football team that are pretty good players. And, if you're going to cut them, you better be cutting them for an awfully good player.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us. And, Corey, there was a report from Pro Football Talk yesterday talking about how one team has been told the Titans offensive tackle Jack Conklin plans to sign with the Jets. Adam Schefter later came out and said that he's going to have many suitors in free agency, not necessarily expected to sign with the Jets. How difficult is it going to be realistically for the Titans to keep Jack Conklin with the amount of suitors we all believe he's going to have this offseason?
Well, I think if they really want to keep him, their only chance is to tag him. That's the only chance they've got, because he is going to get more than Taylor Lewan got. And that's, you know, does that mean he's better than Taylor Lewan? Not necessarily. It just means that's where the market is. People are desperate for offensive line help. It's why, you know, before the last season, you know, my opinion was of the same with Jack Conklin and Derrick Henry. And that was, with both of them going into the last year, it was going to be very difficult for them to keep either of them, because either A, they were going to not play well enough for them to want them back, or B, they were going to be so good that it was going to be hard to bring them back because they were going to be too expensive. We all expect Derrick Henry to be back because he's the face of the franchise at this point. They're tied up in tickets with him. He's got to be back. But Jack is, you know, people have been critical of the Titans now for not picking up that fifth-year option, but nobody was when it happened, because he was coming off several knee injuries and was not having, you know, as good of a year or years as he had his rookie year. So, you know, you make decisions sometimes. Sometimes they pay off, sometimes they don't. This is my long answer saying, I do not see Jack Conklin come back unless they put the franchise tag.
So, Corey, where do you see this tracking more then? Are we in a sign a right tackle, draft an edge rusher, or sign an edge rusher, piece together your right tackle through the draft, and maybe some combination of Dennis Kelly and someone else? Do you have a sense on that?
Well, look, they're going to struggle to sign any big-time players at tackle or edge rusher because of cap space, and those guys are expensive. So they could, but I know they were looking hard at tackles in the draft. So, you know, but the other problem is, you know, the Titans have had a break with Dennis Kelly. They've had him cheap for years, and everybody is saying the same thing right now, and that Dennis Kelly won't be as cheap this year. He's going to cost more money. And if they want to keep Dennis Kelly, they probably need to make sure he signed before he hits free agency. I would think for myself that the best path you could go is get Dennis Kelly back and draft somebody. And, you know, as far as edge rusher, you know, they could still try to draft somebody there as well. Because John Robbins said there's good depth at the tackle position or at the offensive line spots. So, you know, they could possibly get somebody there in round 2 or 3, you know, at that right tackle spot. They used a third rounder last year at guard. But these edge rushers, you know, like Udon, you know, these guys are going to be $15, $16, $17 million. You know, so it's not going to be cheap, you know, to bring those guys in, and we'll see what they can exactly afford.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Corey, thanks so much for coming on with us this morning, man. We appreciate it.
All right, you guys have a great morning. Thanks for having me.
You too. Thank you.
Robbie, I know my first reaction to that is I'm not sure that I like Jack Conklin at the, quote, mini suitors price.
Oh, it's going to be he's a great player, expensive.
But I'm not sure I like him off the market price. I mean, you brought it up last week when we were talking about it. I think that the franchise tag for Conklin or no Conklin has to be what you're looking at as the two most likely options for him, aside from an open market, I don't even know, $12, $13 million a year contract, maybe more.
Yeah, and I think most fans hear what Corey just said right there, and when he was saying, you know, he's going to make more money than Taylor Lewan, and they say, you know, how could that be? But that's just going to be the market this offseason for an offensive tackle. So going to be really interesting to see what the Titans do from that aspect. And we're going to continue to talk about Jack Conklin. How important is he exactly to what the Titans do? And what are the Titans going to be? What are the options going to be for the Titans if they lose him in free agency this offseason? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Alex Apple here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.